Welcome to the beginning of the super terrific happy hour.
Super terrific
happy hour.
Happy hour.
A bunch of us are talking about happy hour.
Yes, welcome to episode 76 of Super Terrific Happy Hour. My name is Matt Neal. I'm the movie reviewer here at the Wonderful Standard. I'm joined by award-winning journalist, Jono Peck.
What? What did I win?
Do you have an
award? Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, I've been wanting to say that for ages.
It was a highly commended.
That's still an award.
I am an award-winning journalist.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, have you ever won an award?
No, never.
Nothing?
Hmm. Nah, not any real ones, anyway.
Just like your friends saying you did a good job with that.
Oh, no, there was a local music awards thing, and there was a media award in that, and I used to win it every year.
That's award winning.
But it was like the only media outlet in town that doing stuff about music. It was kind of a gimme.
Just because no one else, you're doing something no one else is doing.
Yeah, best of one.
Okay.
All right, so one of the favourite pods we've ever done is the one where you, me, and Sean pitched a movie idea, and it was great because mostly just because I wanted to get my Who Framed Roger Rabbit sequel out there into the public.
That was good. I think our ideas were actually as good as any movie I've seen this year.
Yeah, your spy. I'm still. I
the reckon stealth gene.
Your spy film is going to get made. It's
the stealth gene.
Yeah. So
go back and through the archives and look for that one.
Maybe we'll put a link somewhere for that one. But I wanted to another like sort of gratuitous self-promotion kind of thing, self-indulgent. I've got an idea for a TV show that I think could be possibly the greatest TV show of this era.
And it's called?
It's called Henchmen.
Yeah.
So, okay, everyone is just nuts for superhero stuff at the moment. Maybe we've reached peak superhero. We've discussed this before in a previous pod.
Yep.
My idea for this is set around henchmen working for a supervillain. So it's probably an office style setup. It's more like a lot of scenes take place in the tea room kind of thing. This is the henchmen on their between jobs or doing the
menial tasks.
Yeah, just the crap kind of custodial stuff that has to happen for a supervillain to have a massive organization. You know, when you see supervillains in superhero films or Bond films, you know, they're running the big place. Someone's cleaning the toilets there. Someone's doing the filing, paying the bills.
Someone's got to order the zip locks and the zip ties.
Someone's in charge of stationery.
Ammunition.
No one thinks about it, but Blofeld has a guy that handles stationery. Yeah. You know?
And so, if they're putting out ransom letters, they got to go and pick up like some Dolly and Playboys or whatever.
Lots of magazines.
To cut the letters out. Yeah.
Or, you know, you're sitting in the tea room, you go to read, you know, the magazines or papers that have been left over, and there's going to be holes cut out everywhere about the letters.
Who? I haven't read this one yet.
Yeah. You know? So that's the basic premise for it. I'm thinking it's probably I was thinking about it, is it maybe a half hour show, half hour comedy, or 42 minute?
I think you can make it a 42 minute.
42 minute is a lot for comedy.
But this is the thing, you can't just have gags about menial tasks.
There has to be an arc, there has to be
have a master plan they're trying to work towards.
Yep.
And that's where I think it's good to have the cops side of it as well.
Okay.
That's my pitch into this. Is it
cops or is it like superheroes that are trying to shut down the cops?
No, I think let's keep it in the real world.
Okay, cool.
Because it's not just superhero movies that have henchmen. It's also every gangster movie, anything that has a, like you said, Bond. They all have henchmen, and we don't know anything about these henchmen.
No.
And it's the things that a few of the things I've liked in the movies over the past few years, and this could be the seed of what your idea is in Iron Man 3.
That is exactly where I got the idea from.
Yeah, yep. So do you want to tell them about
the scene? No, you go for it, you go.
Well, I think Iron Man, Stark was being held prisoner, and he had the suit come and save him, and one of the henchmen that was guarding him kind of just dropped his gun and said, I'm out of here, like this isn't worth the
I get paid enough for this.
And that's really funny because obviously these people are there as hired guns, but usually they die.
Yeah. Well, which brings me to a good point that I wanted to work into this is that because they die so often, I think it's the perfect opportunity to have a guest star who gets killed.
Every episode.
You can have, like, you know, someone famous, semi-famous who comes in and it's like, hey, this is the new guy. He's going to be, I think he's going to be put in the front line. And they're like, ooh.
Red shirt.
He's the red shirt for the week, yeah. So you have a guest red shirt every week.
The other interesting thing I want to note is that in Star Wars, minor spoiler if you haven't seen the new Star Wars, which if you haven't, go and watch it.
Okay.
But Finn is a stormtrooper.
Yes. I think we knew that.
I think we
knew that.
We should have known that. Yeah. But we got in this movie a chance to see more of these people as humans and not just guys in masks running around not being able to shoot.
Yep.
And it's interesting to see the humanization, is that a word?
Yep.
Of, you know, henchmen. They are henchmen, really. Yeah. So.
And so, I mean, that's what I want to humanize the henchmen. Yes. That's what the whole idea of the show. The show, they're not just cannon fodder.
Yes.
They're real people with jobs and hopes and aspirations and families, you know, and they're just getting mowed down by careless superheroes. They're just collateral damage.
So has this happened? Has anyone done anything like this?
Not that I can think of. The closest thing I could think of was that scene in Iron Man 3.
But is there not like a gangster movie about the mafia or whatever, and they have, you know, not the top people focus?
We always see, I mean, anything like any gangster movie, you see the top guy and he's few guys around him, his like major domos or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
But never, I want to see the bottom level guys that are working for the supervillain. And I think part of it too could be that, especially for like the first season, you don't even see the supervillain.
Right.
They
talk about him a lot.
Yeah, they refer to him a lot and they never even meet him, you know, kind of thing. Like they have to go through a guy.
Okay.
But, and it's almost like then the supervillain kind of becomes mythical within the workplace. Yeah.
So who is the top dog, the Don?
So who is the supervillain?
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't even got that far. Like
you gotta have that.
No, not really.
Because I think that's like the season two kicker. It's like to bring a bit more energy to it. He either promotes some of those lower henchmen, or he starts getting involved in more of the day to day.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea in the second season of like the big guy. He's like they suffer a big defeat maybe at the end of season one. So. The supervillain's trying to rebuild his business a little bit, and someone suggested maybe he needs to communicate more, so he starts, you know, popping into the tea room kind of thing. You know, trying to be all buddy-buddy, like that, the overly friendly.
What about John Lithgow?
Are we casting that? Oh, okay.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
Well,
because we mostly decided to go with a bunch of that guys. That's the other thing about this.
Yeah, so we want to cast the show as well, mostly as an opportunity to give some of our favourite unrecognised or undervalued actors a run. You know, like they give them a good TV show they can really sink their teeth into. John Lithgow is a good one for a film.
He's a pretty big name. But he's not a super duper star.
No, but he's a great actor. He is the other thing. And that's kind of where he's sort of a bit underappreciated. He's a good villain too. Cliffhanger and Dexter, great villains.
And he's very funny too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
30 Rock. Third Rock. I was going to say Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah. He's great comedic.
Yep. And what was the show where he played the father, the long lost father? It was How I Met Your Mother. He was Barney's dad.
Right.
Good save.
Now I've got that out of the way. My go-to villain guy was going to be actually someone you mentioned before is probably Plan B, but William Fichtner.
Ooh, I've got him on my list.
Yeah, he just always plays a bad guy. I think he's a bad guy in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
He was in Blades of Glory, I think.
Yes.
The bad guy. He's a very good bad guy.
He is. He's great.
He was on Prison Break the first time I ever saw him. He was a bad cop on Prison Break.
Yeah.
But he was trying to catch the good guys who are criminals. So he was on the law, but he was a bit crooked.
Grey zone.
Yeah.
He can do funny as well.
He's the straight man.
Yeah.
He can do a good straight man in comedy.
See,
I had him as one of my detectives.
Oh, you've got him. We can
argue over him later. But
all right, because the other one that you mentioned before, I think you put him in your detective list, is John C. McKinley.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he in your detective list?
He is.
Damn, because I thought he'd make a really good supervillain as well.
Yeah, you'd know him possibly from Office Space as one of the people reviewing everyone's workload.
No, he's
but he's mostly known from Scrubs.
Scrubs.
He was Dr. Cox.
Yeah,
and he's very funny, and he's can play over the top, but also he can play, you know, he can be the rebel. I thought he could be like the rebel detective that goes by his own rules.
He
kind of foils William Fichtner's character, who's his partner. They're both detectives, but Fichtner's trying to get promoted.
Okay, yeah.
So they kind of argue with each other.
You thought about the cop side of this a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't even picture there being another side. That's great.
Because every, like, I'm thinking about shows like Gotham, where you have it's mostly about these detectives, but you also have all the gangsters like the Penguin and Fish, and it's the two sides of the coin, and I like seeing them work against each other and then meet up for some scenes. And
The thing, like, is that the henchmen would be so unrecognizable on any Law and Order radar. Mm. Like, they're just the utter plebs of this organization, super villain organization. But they could be drinking buddies, even. Or they pass each other in the street. They're not gonna.
Or you could have one of the cops actually being a henchman in his spare time. Like, he's undercover. He's the rat.
Is this because you watched The Departed the other night?
I thought maybe Casey Affleck could do that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because he's, you know, he could be a good cop, but he can also be kind of slimy, so he's working both sides. Topher Grace, who's another one of my underrated guys.
Yeah.
He's the cadet at the police station. He's the new guy, but he's a little bit suspicious of Casey.
Right.
But no one believes him.
This is good,
you know.
I'll give you some of my henchmen. These are like the key cast. I think these are the real stars.
Sure.
My main man is Giovanni Ribisi, because I just think he's just the most underrated dude getting around.
He's kind of manic, and
he can do straight, and he's really good comedic as well.
Yeah, and he's really good at getting angry.
Yeah. So he's the main villain in Ted, which is where you get his sort of villainy role. He's manic, loopy, crazy in Friends as Phoebe's brother. But he's also in Saving Private Ryan, and it does a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in drama, I don't think, but
the first time I ever saw him was in an episode of The X-Files, which he actually starred in with Jack Black. It was one of Jack Black's first roles. There's an episode called DPO, and Giovanni Ribisi plays this guy that can basically control lightning. And from the minute I saw that episode, I went, this guy is going to be it in a bit. So I think I've followed his career. And I've got, this guy can act. He is going to be awesome.
And what was your thoughts on Jack Black at the time?
I only realised that Jack Black was in the episode the other day when I was Googling Jack Black's IMDb for some reason.
He was in Cable Guy too.
Yeah, see, I've still haven't seen that. But Giovanni Ribisi is my main go-to guy. And I really like, and I probably should have Googled this guy's IMDb a little bit more before we started discussing it, but this was more one of the ones I saw in The Hunger Games, Jeffrey Wright.
Mm.
And I thought, I've seen him.
He was on Boardwalk Empire. So he has done the kind of
crime thing. So he's kind of like a big profile now, probably.
Yeah, for those that have seen The Hunger Games, he's the computer whiz black dude with the goatee. What's his name?
BT.
Yeah, he's a former winner of the Hunger Games that joins the fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is also, I realised, in the first two Daniel Craig Bond films. He's Felix Leiter. So he gets around, but I just don't think he kind of gets the credit that he.
So who's he on Henchman? Is he like the IT guy?
Because they got to have. There's like a bit of typecasting.
Yeah, but they got to have an IT guy, don't they?
They do.
Like, we're henchmen. We're trying to take over the world, but our computers aren't working.
I don't know. I feel like the IT guy is it kind of a cliche, a bit of a trope that it's like the weird, nerdy kind of guy. What if it's like a hot guy, like the, like the classic good looks kind of guy who gets all the chicks and he's the IT guy? Is that a good flip?
Who was the like Neighbours or Home and Away guy that was on House?
Oh yeah, Australian guy.
Yeah. Let's chuck him in there.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah.
House Australian is not gonna get me that.
No, it's not.
Jesse Spencer. He'd be a good IT guy. Yeah.
Because he's not a super duper star.
No.
But he's competent.
It did occur to me we probably should have some Aussies in this too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Because otherwise my IT guy is probably going to be Stephen Root.
Yep. Well, he's the nerd.
But he's kind of traditional.
He's not the bombshell.
No, he's not. Yeah.
Just have him playing like Milton from Office Space.
Yeah. So we're getting a bit of an Office Space reunion here. Because Stephen Root's on my list. We mentioned Jossie McGinley.
Yeah.
Have you got Ron Livingston on your list?
I haven't written it here, but we talked about that.
Yeah. Because he just... Ever since I saw Office Space, I thought, this guy's going to be popping up in comedy movies left, right, and centre, but he just hasn't.
Market correction. Kyle Chandler.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna get Office Space Reunion. Uh-huh. I think that's good.
What else?
I want to get a Starship Troopers reunion happening in there.
So Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, he's the big one. But it was mostly because I wanted to cast Clancy Brown, who's in like Shawshank Redemption. He's one of those that guys. He was in a really cool TV show that analyzed for a couple of series called Carnival. He's got this really enormous head.
Right.
And yeah, he's okay. So I want to get him in there, and then I started thinking about Starship Troopers cast, because some shows get like Futurama got a Star Trek reunion happening through voices. Scrubs had a
Spin City, all those characters turned up because they had the same showrunner essentially.
So I thought, Starship Troopers reunion, Clancy Brown, Casper Van Dien.
You're talking about people I don't know.
Casper Van Dien, the latest thing that he's done, I think, is Sharknado 3.
Right, so he's doing well.
He's really in the cellar. There's a chick called Dinah Meyer, who was in it, who I thought was it in a bit when Starship Troopers came out. Neil Patrick Harris and Denise Richards.
Okay.
So,
see, I'll just scrap all of them except for the Neil Patrick Harris and Denise Richards.
Yeah, but Clancy Brown is really good. Underrated actor.
Can they just be people that get killed off? Because no one knows who they are.
Pretty much. Maybe. I want Clancy Brown as a regular guy.
It's just an Easter egg for the nerds.
I want Clancy Brown as like the janitor or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you're pitching actors, you've got to say what they're going to do.
Okay. All right. All right. I've got two more dudes and we'll move on to the ladies.
Yeah.
This is a big one because he doesn't get the respect he deserves. Should have a really prominent role.
Uh-huh.
I think he's like maybe their superior officer kind of thing.
Okay.
For the henchmen. Billy Dee Williams.
Mm. So he's a big name.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do anything.
No. Aside from Empire and Jedi.
Yeah. See, and I get confused between him and Carl Weathers. I don't know if that I don't think that's racist. But they do look kind of similar. Lando and Apollo Creed. They have the same hair, the same facial hair. That's about it.
Okay, all right. I'll let that one slide.
They're both incredibly cool.
Yes. So that's the thing.
Like, they both had huge movies in the 70s.
Yeah, so he's in the Star Wars films, and he plays Harvey Dent in the Tim Burton Batman movies.
Hmm. Good on him.
How'd he go? He's great in those.
Yeah.
But where is Billy Dee Williams? He should totally be...
That's pretty forward thinking for the time to have a black Harvey Dent, isn't it?
I guess, I don't know. I never really thought about that.
Like, did the nerds kick up a stink at the time? Or were they just excited to have a Batman?
They were more busy kicking up a stink about Michael Keaton being Batman.
Mm, okay. Even though he was awesome?
Yeah, but they didn't know that at the time. It's like everyone complained that Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker.
Yeah.
Like,
and,
Idiot.
Jared Leto now.
Yeah.
Pretty much anyone cast in a film... to do with nerd culture.
That's it. I'm sure there were people complaining about Christian Bale being probably Batman. I got one more cast member who's one of my main guys. That's one of the henchmen, Alan Tudyk.
Yep.
My mate.
He's great.
He's good. He's just great at everything.
I don't know if he's evil enough.
But that's what I like. I like that all these guys are like come off as good guys. They're just doing their job. Yeah. They're just the small cog in the machine.
Do they question it?
I think that's a big thing about it. I think there's a big... One of the big overriding themes of it is is questioning the morality of what they're doing.
I like to think that there's some... You get little sprinkles of backstory about how they ended up there. Like, they're mad at the government. They're mad at the council for, you know, taking their grandma's house away. They want to fight back.
Yeah, there's like a sort of self-righteous thing, like, fighting against the man.
Yeah.
So they see it as like an idealistic thing. But I think a lot of them are just probably washouts that can't get jobs anywhere.
Because,
I mean, who signs up to be a henchman? Yeah. You know, you've got to be like either... It's either an ideological thing or you're just at the lowest ebb. You just can't get work anywhere.
And so henchmen traditionally dudes.
Yeah.
So why are we talking about women here? Well, are we making new ground for henchmen?
I think... There should totally be female henchmen. And one of the things about Star Wars, and this isn't spoiling anything, but Captain Phasma is played by Gwendolyn... What's her name?
By a woman.
From Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does nothing.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a waste. But I like the idea that, hey, women can be stormtroopers too. Yeah. Like, and you never know. you know, behind the mask and the uniform, it could be anyone, any gender of any color of anything.
Boba Fett could have been a woman.
Pretty much, yeah. So why not have henchmen like that are female? And also, I mean, there's hundreds of jobs here. We're talking about a massive organization.
You gotta have a receptionist.
Oh, a sexist.
Sorry.
I was going to say, well, you've got to have love interest, that's probably sexist as well.
It was one of the jobs we haven't covered yet. That's all.
Maybe that's Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, he could be a receptionist. Yeah. He's good at administrative tasks.
I think so, yeah.
And the other thing are the henchmen like posing as another company as well?
Like, oh, there's a front for it.
Yeah, like they're laundering their money somehow. Maybe,
so it's like LexCorp. Maybe. Yeah,
or maybe they're, you know, a paper company.
Thunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
I was just kind of thinking of it as almost a bit like the base out, the secret base in the volcano kind of thing. But it probably isn't going to be like that somehow.
I would like to think that it's like some kind of online shopping company where all they have to
Amazon do. Amazon is a front for a supervillain.
It's not Amazon. It's one of those like little ones that you know they have. They sell stuff at wholesale cost.
Some people are actually doing real jobs.
Yeah, but it's
probably
like,
unknowingly that they're benefiting a supervillain.
Maybe. Or maybe they're in on it. But they take their work really seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I have to get this shipment out. There's people that want their bobbleheads or whatever it is.
But they're side by side by people who are actually probably low-level foot soldiers kind of thing as well. You know, there's this weird crossover. And I like the idea of it being a really heavily PC kind of office.
Mm.
You know, like, partly why I think there's got to be a lot of women.
Equal opportunity henchmen.
Yeah. There's got to be, I mean, you know, we haven't got a token Asian in there yet, but, you know, there has to be, it's almost like they hire people because there's a lack of demographic almost. You know, like they've really got to, you know, overcompensate.
It's like a henchman for the new century kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's the 21st century henching.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Henching. Okay. And henching has to be a thing. Like, are you on like regular duties or are you henching today?
Yeah, yeah.
You
know? Oh, I've got 2 weeks of henching.
Yeah, yeah. It's
my wife's going to kill me.
Yeah. If I get shot on this, my wife's going to kill me.
Yeah.
So... lay some ladies on me.
No, you do it.
Okay.
I've got the cops covered.
Okay. Yep. Have you taken that cop I mentioned? It was...
Which one? Fitchner?
No. The lady cop.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, but you can have it.
Oh, well, the lady cop... Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute then. Okay, so the hench women that are also henchmen. I've got Judy Greer.
Yep.
Who seems to pop up in a lot of stuff now.
She does, she's a that girl.
Yeah, so she's, I can't remember the character's name in Arrested Development.
It's the last time you'll ever see these.
Kitty.
Yeah. She's always the friend, like the hot chick's best friend in movies and stuff.
Yeah, although she's the mum in Ant-Man. She's Paul Rudd's ex in Ant-Man. She's
the mum in Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Yeah, she's getting a lot of mum roles now. But I think we can bring her back and make her like, to get it, give her like the key love interest role as well, like a key female lead.
Okay.
That's, you know.
See, Kristen Ritter is the other one, like her, but she's too famous now. She just
did Jessica Jones. Yeah. And before that, she was just the junkie chick from Breaking Bad, pretty much, wasn't she?
Pretty sure she had done other things, but yeah, that's where she would have eyes on her would have been that show. Yeah.
Yep. We've got mostly a couple of older women because I think that the age thing too, like they're an equal age employer as well, just to kind of play it up as well. But
if you need henchmen, are you going to go for an old lady or are you going to go for a young man?
No, well, that's kind of the gag of it, that like it's such an equal rights employer that they're hiring like these women in their 50s and 60s to be foot soldiers because they're just so trying to be so PC about it.
Yeah, right.
Is that kind of...
It might work, it might fall over.
It might. Patricia Clarkson is one who I really like. She was in Up in the Air and had a bunch of lead roles after that, but she's really, really good actress. I think she's in Lars and the Real Girl as well. Alison Janney, who I reckon is like the ultimate that girl actress.
West Wing.
She was in The Help as well. Pops up in everything. She's really good. Kerry Washington, It's probably a bit big maybe now for this, but I thought she's a really great actress, great in Django. I just thought I just wanted
to you wanted a black person.
I wanted a black woman, basically. And yeah, for in the cop roles, because we need a female police officer. Lucy Lawless doesn't get enough stuff.
She was in, last thing I saw her in was Curb Your Enthusiasm, and she was playing herself. Right. Actually, no, she was on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Well, yes. I just haven't heard her name come up a lot, other than in episodes of The Simpsons, but that was back when she was Xena.
Yeah. No, she's funny. She's very funny.
And she's a New Zealander.
Yes.
And she's equal rights. She's very New Zealander's
and jobs. She's very tall. I think she would be a good henchman. Like, she's strong and fit, and she can kick your butt.
Yeah. True.
With the, so best, with the best of her.
So, do you want her on the cop side, or do we go on
I mean, I had her as a cop, but, you know, I can find more cops.
Yeah. I mean, you can have Patricia Clarkson as a cop. She's, like, got good... She'd make a good, like, head cop, like, detective kind of...
I'll take your leftovers.
Yeah. Not leftovers. This is quality. Quality actors I'm talking about.
Okay, okay.
All right. You got any others that you want to cast?
We talked about Casey Affleck.
Mm.
Do you want him as the undercover? Because he's the link between the henchmen and the cops, I think. Because he's working on both sides.
Yeah, it's cool. Because I think he'd be good in the henchman side as well.
Yeah, yeah. Very underrated.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I reckon he starts as a henchman and gets recruited. They're trying to woo him over.
To the cops?
Yeah.
Who's he actually working for?
I think he's working for the henchman.
Yeah, yeah. He's a henchman who's... Maybe he's in the... He's just graduated police academy, or is maybe that's one of the running arcs.
Well, I think he's conflicted. He's one of the ones who's really conflicted about what he's actually doing.
Okay.
And maybe he has a mate who's a cop. Maybe you got Michael Rapaport on your list.
Yeah, Michael Rapaport is my replacement for William Fichtner.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
You know Michael Rapaport from... He was a cop on Prison Breaks last season. He was a cop on Copland.
He was a cop in Metro with Eddie Murphy.
And he was a cop on Friends.
Yes.
He was the guy that dated Phoebe and eventually killed a bird with his handgun. So that's where he's probably best known. But
yeah, just got to be just cops. He is cops.
He's in. Have you seen Zebrahead?
No.
Yeah, he was in that too.
That was your other guy you were going to mention, Kevin Corrigan.
Kevin Corrigan was... I just saw him in The Departed, and I was like, oh, that guy. He's in tons of stuff. He'd be a good henchman.
I think he's in Zebrahead. I just saw that mentioned before.
He's kind of got the... He's one of those kind of Italian-looking guys. I think he'd be a fiery henchman.
Yeah, and I think... but you can also do bad guys, too, because I think he's the bad guy in... one of the bad guys.
Yeah, I think he is like... Pineapple Express. Yeah, I think he's like a gang kind of dude in that.
Yeah.
Not to stereotype Italians... Italian Americans is
no, but he's in The Departed. He's in American Gangster.
Okay. In the Departed, he was one of the few people who wasn't a cop or a gangster. Though he was just a dude. Cool. Anyway,
right.
Yeah. Anyway. So within my police station, I've got Kurtwood Smith as the top of the police station.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So this is a guy mostly known as Red Foreman on that '70s show. He's also in RoboCop. In the 80s.
Yep.
So, real hard ass, I guess is how
you... Huge forehead.
Is how you describe it. Another great forehead or head.
Yeah, yeah.
To go with who?
With Clancy Brown. Yep. He's got a great head, yeah.
So, he's the head of the police department. He's good at being kind of the angry guy. He's also quite funny.
Yeah.
And likes to stick his foot in places.
Yes.
So
you've got a minor That 70s Show reunion going between him and Topher Grace.
So Topher Grace is the cadet.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of that banter happening.
Topher Grace is probably my age now, though.
Yeah, but you can decide at 30, however old you are, you want to join the police force.
35 now.
Yeah. And Topher Grace looks younger than you, probably. He does. Like, he was probably 28 when That 70s Show finished, which was more than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was still playing like a 20-year-old, so...
True.
Topher. I'm just so happy to have Topher back. So, yeah, he's at the top. Then you've got Rapaport as a aspiring detective who wants to move the way up the ranks, but John C. McKinley, who's the rebel, is bringing him down because they're partners. So they have a lot of fighting and they're both fiery at each other.
Right. So does that mean William Fichtner is the supervillain?
He can be on your side.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I wanted to have Lucy Lawless, but we'll insert some other
Yeah, that Patricia, girl. Patricia Clarkson.
Yep, I'll take her.
She's quality.
I wanted to have a black guy, but apparently the one I chose is we're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah, him. I don't think he has a good reputation.
Can I talk about him still? Just ignore for a minute the allegations.
Well, you talk about him while I just Google the allegations.
His name is Anthony Anderson, and he was a cop on The Departed who, spoilers, gets shot at the end like everyone else. So he didn't really get a good chance to be a cop.
I'm pretty sure he was also in like Kangaroo Jack.
Yeah, he was in Kangaroo Jack. He was in Me, Myself, and Irene as one of those brothers. But he's a that guy. He's
in Transformers and Barbershop.
He's the fast-talking, you know, African-American comic relief, usually. But I thought he'd be a great undercover cop. And he's a good contrast to the straight, you know, other cops.
I'm struggling to find... I may have just made up this stuff about him.
You're racist.
I thought he did some bad things to women, but I may have been
probably
incorrect.
An NFL player.
Maybe. I believe there was allegations made against him, but...
Look, there's allegations made against lots of people.
True.
But innocent till proven guilty. Except for
Bill
Cosby.
he had rape charges dropped against him.
Right.
So that would be. I never heard the answer.
He's in my. He's in my police station.
Cool. Well, he didn't do it. So that's it's fine. You can have him. Sure. I'm going to allow this.
Good. Is there anyone we've missed?
No, I don't think so. And I think we've covered all the plot points. We've covered the setup. I was thinking about. It feels like it's probably shot like The Office, like a Modern Family kind of thing. But I was thinking that maybe that the direct-to-camera interview thing is left by the wayside.
Yeah, that's a mockumentary kind of style.
Yeah.
Thing. We probably can't have gangsters filming themselves.
No. And also, there's a great joke. I caught the first two episodes of the new Muppets TV series, and Gonzo makes a great joke about that. He's like, it cuts to him doing one of those things. He goes, I hate this device. It's the worst, most overused device. And it's just such an easy setup because you say one thing and then you cut back to him in the real setting and they just say the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him going, I love that device.
That's good. Mm. Yeah, it was good when the original Office started it.
Yeah.
But it became... It just got misused. I blame Modern Family. There's nothing about that show that suggests it's a documentary except for those scenes.
Yeah. So you
they
kind
don't,
of...
They don't act like they're being filmed. They don't refer to the fact that they're being filmed for something that's going to air at some point and that they're all famous.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes no sense. And it kind of pulls you out of it.
Mm.
Out of the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I hate it. And the Office did it brilliantly in that, sure, they filmed, like, I'm talking about the American one now. They did 9 seasons, and everyone's going, well, why aren't they celebrities? Where is this footage going? And in one of the last episodes, it cuts forward 2 years, and all that footage has been released into a movie or a TV show, and they are famous, and they go to a reunion or a Q&A or whatever, and it's like, you know, how's your life changed since the show, and people asking them questions about things that had happened over those seasons, like
that's
that moment
clever.
Where Jim and Pam got together or whatever, and that's pretty clever.
Because in the original Office, they don't make a massive song and dance about the fact that it's being filmed, do they?
The British one?
Yeah. Like, David Brent talks to them directly. Like
They do talking heads.
Yeah, they do
and,
that.
And Tim, played by Martin Freeman
yeah.
He's always, like, looking at the camera as if, like, can you believe this is happening?
Yeah, yeah.
And in between season 2 and the Christmas special, it's aired, and David Brent's got C-level celebrity fame.
Yeah, okay.
And he's getting recognised.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I haven't seen it for so long. But
it was pretty fresh thing to do at the time, and then it was the American Office, then Parks and Recreation did it, it was fine. They handled it better than Modern Family, but Modern Family is really just the, hey, let's just do it because it's an easy way.
This is a way to film.
And it's an easy way to give exposition of what's happening. And
cheap gags and stuff.
Like, pretty much.
That's where most of Phil Dunphy's best lines come from.
Yeah. I mean, it's still funny, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, yeah. Alright, so we won't do that. But we'll shoot it kind of like in that. I like the way I've caught a couple of episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, that's kind of... I've been thinking about the police side of it
yeah,
in that
okay.
setting. But
so the henchman side's kind of set in the office and the police side is kind of set in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, yeah. Basically. We're just mashing them together.
And I think eventually we can... I think we can have, like, some standoffs and stuff between the two casts.
Yep.
But it would be good if some of them are friends and they meet up at the pub every couple episodes.
It's like their offices are next to each other.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
And there's a pub on the corner.
Or, like, or maybe the front is, like, a restaurant that the cops always go to. So you have a lot of crossover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or they're brothers or, you know, whatever.
One of your first questions was about the supervillain, and I haven't really given it any thought, but what kind of a supervillain is it? Like, is it more of like a Lex Luthor kind of thing, or like a Blofeld kind of thing? It's like a regular dude. Like, you mentioned about it being very real world.
Well, what are they doing? Because to have henchmen, you need, like, they're pretty much there to do violent things.
Yeah, well, all trying to take over the world, I guess.
Are they robbing banks?
Are they terrorists? Are they... Like, you know, they blow up the White House.
What
kind
is
of thing?
Your thing, Matt? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Because I think originally I kind of thought, before you started talking about cops, I figured that it was actually, like I said, it's the secret base in the volcano kind of thing. Yeah. And they're, you know, living away from home to be part of this. You know, yeah, they've got wife and kids back home. They're kind of like being in the army, I guess. But they're regularly going up against actual superheroes that have powers and stuff.
Right. That's a different show.
That is a different show. But that's where the premise was.
It's a higher budget of a show.
But you started talking about cops, and I just kind of ran with that. Okay. So yeah, but I like it. It's like it's not a high budget show because you never actually see any of that kind of world of it. It's always the behind the scenes kind of thing. You never see the big battles or the buildings getting blown up or superheroes unleashing their awesome powers. You just kind of hear about all this stuff. Like,
so what makes it keep going? Like, where does the conflict come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pitch me a typical episode.
Okay. So, I guess there's...
Is it like The Office, where it's like, you know, the boss promised us that we were going to get a surprise by the end of the day, but he didn't actually have anything in mind, so he has to make something up or buy everyone free ice creams?
I think there's a fair amount of office politics that drives it, of one-upmanship between people trying to sort of get higher up the chain so they're not having to do the really low-level crap. Like, you're always wanting to be... If you're there... ideologically, then you want to be moving up the chain to get closer to number one.
Right.
Closer to the supervillain, you know. And there's probably like a low-level guy who really wants to be the supervillain at some point. You know, like there's a little evil bastard who genuinely wants to climb the tree to be the supervillain.
Giovanni Ribisi.
And he could be that guy, I think.
Yeah.
I was just looking at my list and that was the one that really jumped out. So there's the office politics kind of stuff, I think. There's also just the day-to-day issues of running things, you know, like...
Sure. Well, because I've got a police station, is it better if we change it to, like, a government department, like counter-terrorism or something? So they're mostly just working in an office as well.
Yeah, maybe. And they've, like, got field agents more. Because, I mean, as a cop... Are cops really going to be dealing with a supervillain? I mean, we don't... Again, we haven't assessed... Worked out how big or what this guy's modus operandi is.
Well, if your guys are planning terrorism, these guys can be like Homeland Security.
Yeah, something like that.
But they're mostly the ones that are like running around the office going like, enhance it and all that stuff on the security footage.
Yeah, lots of that. And I'd like it to...
It'd be a good gag, actually. That, we can't enhance
it. That doesn't actually work. That's only on TV. You can't... It just blows it up and it's massively pixelated. And like... Where's the enhance button? That's not a thing. You can't actually do that.
I've seen it in movies.
Mm. And the whole CSI thing too, like play with that. It's like, oh cool, when do we get the results for that? About
6 months.
8 weeks, I think. What do you mean 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that'd be good.
There's some really beleaguered, like totally under the pump CSI guy down in the basement with really crappy gear. Yeah. And everyone's just bombarding with stuff like, oh, we need fingerprint scans on this and blood tests and all this. It's like, I'm backed up for 6 months here.
Yeah, I need some more resources.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got something.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Focus on the inside of the office.
Yeah, so it's the low-level guys on both sides, really. Mm. That's what, you know, you've got to have the higher guys. You've got to have the guy who's running the office.
Is it two different shows? But, or do we want them in the same
universe? Where you've got to kind of get the... there's got to be more crossover points between them, I think.
Yeah.
That's... It's like maybe...
Maybe one of them's dating someone on the other side.
We need lots of links between them. So maybe dating, maybe there's mates. I think they're drinking buddies. They meet up at the bar. But I think there's also got to be sort of a certain level of, I think, like the cop guys or the agents know that there's something fishy about this, the front for this villainy thing. So they're kind of going in there a lot to asking stupid questions or like trying to, or they're trying to trip up the henchmen as well. Right. So there's where the conflict comes in a lot. They're all, the cops are always trying to catch them out, but the henchmen are kind of just blindly getting by, you know.
Yeah, I like it. My only main concern, too many characters.
There's there are a lot of shows that have like a heap of characters.
Mm. Like Mad Men and
Lost. Orange is the New Black seems to have a lot of characters that just sort of pop up a little bit. I think it's kind of that, like, where they each get their focal episode.
Yeah, or they get like a couple in a row where they've got a main story.
Yeah.
But that's not an out-and-out comedy.
No, but, you know, you've got to have a bit of dramatic punch to it as well, I think.
But you've got like 20 people on your list.
Yeah, totally. But the thing is, like, they're all working actors.
One of the things is we might maybe, we recycle the cast every season.
It's easy to change over with this. The henchmen get wiped out all the time in some kind of, I don't know, whatever.
So we've got actors signing like 5 and 10 episode deals.
I think so. And I think because, you know, a lot of these guys have probably got other stuff going on that... Mm. You know, if they only drop in for 5 episodes a season, that's fine. And then, you know, come back, reuse the character as you need.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, send your checks to...
We're ready to get writing on the first episode. The pilot, just, you know,
Are we thinking HBO, or is it more of a, like, PG kind of Fox sitcom?
Oh, not Fox. I don't know. I'm happy to, like, you know, pick the best of the offers that come in. Really.
NBC.
I'm happy to just assess what people offer us. But if Showtime turn up and say, hey, you know, we'll give you this many millions, I'm happy to assess
that. But
that's
a different kind of tone.
Yeah, but I'm flexible.
Okay. So you can write PG rated.
Ah, I can write anything, man. You've seen me?
No, I haven't.
Just seen my Roger Rabbit script?
Yeah, true. Okay. Not bad. Cool. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's it. Henchmen.
Henchmen.
Coming to TVs in 2017.
Like Minions, but with people.
But yeah. Actually, I think that's partly where I kind of, the idea came from as well.
Mm. Okay. Well, thanks for listening. Let us know what you think of our idea or who we should cast.
Yeah, who we miss. Yeah.
Or just tell us the most underrated character actors out there.
Yeah, some of those that guys and that girls that are in everything, but... Don't get enough.
I wanted to talk about Steve Buscemi, but he's probably too big.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think he's too big.
Well, so let us know on Facebook or on the Twitters. Matt is at Dr. Matt Neal. I'm at Jono himself. Have a super terrific week and a happy new year.